The only thing that matters is following the Spirit of God this morning. Got your Bibles? You want to follow along with us? I'm going to go into the first chapter of the book of John this morning. First chapter of the book of John. I'm going to start our reading there, then the 35th verse. And we've been going over the first chapter of John in our Bible study, and as we were looking over especially these passages of scriptures this past week, God has just been having them linger on my heart. And so I ask that you all would just pray for us this morning, that we would do that the Lord has placed into our trust. But John chapter 1 and verse 35 says, "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. As I was trying to study this past week, there's been a reoccurring thought upon my heart this morning. And once again, y'all just pray for me. But the thought that I've got on my heart, I guess I'd put it in a form of a question. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? The very same question that Jesus even asked those disciples. What seek ye? What are you seeking? What are you looking after? Not only looking, but that word seek means earnestly, diligently looking for something. And you know, as I wander about and look around us, you know, we try to seek, and I hope and pray this morning, as for those who have been saved by the grace of God, that we try to seek first the kingdom of God in everything that we do, not just on Sunday mornings, but each and every day that God has given us. But you know, there's a world out there full of lost individuals. You know, I don't know about you, but I feel like they're looking after something. They're seeking after something. And let me tell you this morning, you might, if God is dealing with you, and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're lost and separated from God, I want to say to you this morning, seek Him. Seek Him. You know, people out there, they try to seek after what the world can do and what the world can fill in for them. You know, and I'll tell you this, you can try to find comfort. You can try to find peace. You can try any kind of delight in this world, but all it's going to do is last for a season. Moses, there in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter there, when it was talking about the hall of faith, or the chapter of faith, was listing all the Old Testament people who left us a great example of faith. It talked about Moses there. And the writer said that Moses thought it was better to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And when you look at it, That's really all it lasts, is it's just for a season, just for a little bit of time. But I tell you this morning, if you're lost and separated from God, you don't need something that's just going to fill that hole and emptiness in your soul for a little bit of time and a little bit of season. You need something that will last you for an eternity. And that is Jesus this morning. Nobody else. Nothing else. You know, as I was thinking about seeking, and once again, it means looking earnestly or diligently after, trying to put forth an effort into trying to find what it is that you're longing for. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, church, I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face about you need to do this and you need to do that. But unless you really want to, ain't nothing going to get done. And that same thing for you, lost. I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face how you need to escape the wrath of God. And you need to. How you need to be saved. And you need to. But unless you have a desire to seek after God, ain't nothing going to be done. That's the honesty. God is not a God of force. You notice that? The Bible, I believe, very plainly from Genesis to Revelation, teaches us of a thing called free will. There's people who preach irresistible grace and how when the Spirit draws you, you have no choice but to submit yourself to the Spirit forcefully. And I tell you this morning, we're all given a choice. When God comes a knocking, we got a choice to either answer that knock or to turn them away. But I tell you this morning, you need to be careful with what you do and the choices that we do make. You know, I believe this. God cannot get real honor and glory from His people unless we freely and willingly submit ourselves to His Spirit. He didn't make us to be robots. Where's the glory in that? Where's the exaltment of Jesus in that? It ain't nowhere. But yet it's when we willingly and obediently put ourselves at His feet. And lost person, you need to do the exact same thing, is willingly and obediently put all your trust and faith and cares at the foot of God. So, what are you seeking? You can try to seek for shelter. And I'll tell you this, in the 6th chapter of the book of John, Jesus, He was actually talking to everybody there that was gathering around about Him. And He had told them there about how He's the bread of life. He was giving them that history lesson about when the Israelites was wandering 40 years through the wilderness, how when they became hungry, God fed them manna from heaven. He gave them manna from heaven. But Jesus looked at them and said, I am the bread of life. And any man who eats after me won't ever hunger again. And we see that when Jesus had spoken these things, that this great multitude of people, a lot of them wandered away to walk with Him no more. And Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, will you also go away? And Peter stood up and he said, Lord, where else can we turn to? For you're the one who has the words of eternal life. Where else can I turn to? You know, there's a song. Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? You know, you can try to find comfort. And now let me tell you this. I've tried it myself. You can try to find comfort in the world. You can try to find a pathway to joy in this life. Folks, I'm just going to give you a heads up. You ain't going to find it. You're just not. Oh, I've tried to find my way with joy. I've tried to fill my heart up with money and with materialistic things, thinking that that could bring me joy. You know what it does to me at the end of the day? It causes more greed to stir up within my heart. It causes a more want to stir up within my heart. I'm never satisfied with what I got. Let me tell you this, church. I'm never satisfied with what I got. Just to be honest with you. You know, there's times I look at these bigger houses and I think to myself, man, I'd love to have that. I look at these nicer cars and I think, man, I'd love to have that. You know, sometimes my wife, she'll fix me some homemade food. And let me tell you, I thank God for that. But sometimes I'll look at the newspaper, I'll look at TV, and I'll look at these fancy cooking that Gordon Ramsay or Guy Fieri's eating. And I think, man, I want that. I ain't satisfied with what I got. I'm just not. And if you try to satisfy this flesh, you'll never be satisfied. But I tell you who can satisfy you. Jesus can. And that's a satisfaction that will satisfy you all the days of your life. And not only that, but that's something that I believe will satisfy you when you get called home. That's something I believe we'll be satisfied with. You know, let me tell you this morning, I believe this. When we get up to heaven, when God calls us home, for those of us who have been saved by His grace, I believe when we get up there, we'll be able to say, I'm satisfied. I've got all I got. Why is that? Because the Son of God is the center and light of heaven Himself. Why would we need anything else? Why would we need anything else? Why would I need anything else in the first place? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life in John chapter 6. I believe it was John chapter 8 or chapter 7. Jesus, John chapter 6 said, He said, I'm the bread of life. John chapter 4, He said, I'm the water of life. That's already two things that your body needs here on this earth. And Jesus can provide that for you spiritually. Not only that, but Jesus also said in John chapter 8, I am the light of this world. Amen. Who follows after me won't walk in darkness, but rather will walk in the light. You know, I was thinking about this last week, and we read of these stories. You know, and we sing these songs about, you know, how Jesus was able to walk and was able to heal the blind. You know, and we read in John chapter 9 there when the light of God Himself walked past the blind man who had been blind from birth. You know, and He walked past there. And He was able to receive His sight. You know, there was these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they were questioning Him. They said, well, what about this man? What did you see of him? What do you know of him? You know what that blind man said? He said, I don't know anything, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Preacher there is. I'm not the smartest one that there is. I'm not the most doctrinal one that there is, just to be honest with you. You know, but I tell you that what this little preacher does know, one day I was blind, and in the next moment I was able to see. That's one thing I do know. I may not be able to tell you very deep theological things. And if that's the preacher you wanted, well, I'm sorry that I ruined that. But I tell you this, there's one thing I do know, and that's the fact that the lost need a Savior. That's what I know. And what I do know is that the one who saved me as a 7-year-old boy, sinner friend, can save you this morning. The one who reached down, oh, let me tell you, we read in the book of Psalms there, I know I'm going everywhere, but just bear with me. You know how we read in the book of Psalms there about how the writer there, he was talking about how I was in a miry clay, I was in a miry pit. He said, you know that word miry, it means seeking low, like quicksand there. He said, I was sinking in this pit, but he said, then God lifted me out of that pit, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Folks, let me tell you this. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And I tell you this. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Not this name. Not this year. But that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. No, let me tell you this. Ain't you glad, as that one song says, ain't you glad that one day love lifted you? Oh, it lifted me out of that pit. It lifted me. You know, I tell you what, Jesus said in the book of John in the 3rd chapter there, he told Nicodemus as they were sitting and they were talking with one another, Jesus said, he said, for God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he said, but he that believeth not, he is condemned already. Folks, let me tell you this. I don't care what you might have done in your past. I don't care the sin of the individual. But I tell you this. If you're not saved by the grace of God, you're on your way to the devil's hell. Let me tell you, no amount, and I love you, and that's why I'm saying this morning, but no amount of baptism, if you've not been saved by the grace of God, no amount of baptism can save you. Just can't. If you've not been saved, then let me tell you this. It doesn't matter if you shake my hand. I tell you what, I'll gladly shake your hand after service, but you know what? It's just a dirty hand. That's all it is. There ain't no power in it. You can try your very best to look at that model prayer there in the book of Matthew when Jesus was trying to teach his disciples how to pray. You can look at that and try to read that over and over and over again, but that won't save you. There's only one way to salvation. And that's through Jesus Christ. One way, one mediator between man and God, that's the man, Christ Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Folks, it's going to have to be Christ alone where you're going to have to find hope. But let me get on with this. We read there in the 64th chapter of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah there, he is prophesying before the people there. And he had told them, well, if I can flip to it real fast. He had told them there, you know, let me tell you, you know, there's a bunch of people in this world, in the world, you know, they try to teach us about how good we are and about how we need to do this and do that. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, there ain't nothing good about us. We are sinful man, born in a sinfully depraved state. We are sinful man, and we cannot do anything without the help of God. Even if we've been saved by His grace, His flesh perishes daily. You know, Isaiah 64, He told the people there, He said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. What righteousness is it that He's talking about? Our self-righteousness. Boy, there ain't nothing special about it. Ain't nothing special about it. You know, I told my wife the other day, you know, next week is going to be our anniversary, you know, and I told her the other day, I said, honey, it's about that time of the year where it's time for me to remind you that you married up, you know. But I tell you what, and I say that in all joking matters, but I tell you what, it's when I take a step back and look at Micah Barber, man, let me tell you, I ain't worth nothing. I'm really not. Oh, but I tell you, the one who's greater, the one that is in me, is greater than he who's in the world. The one that lives and abides in me, boy, he makes me a somebody. He makes me something. You know, and I tell you this, you know, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and where our days is just like grass. It withers away. But folks, I tell you this morning, you know, you might be as dirty as could be. But you know what Isaiah said in the first chapter? He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins may be red like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Folks, I tell you this morning, even if you're the dirtiest, filthiest thing this world has, Jesus can dip it in His red blood, oh, and make you so, so clean again. Are you washed in the blood? The book of Deuteronomy. I'll say this, and I'll try my best to be done. Oh, but book of Deuteronomy, there in the 33rd chapter, 27th verse. Moses was telling the people there of Israel, he said, the eternal God is thy refuge. Refuge, as we know, dwelling place, place of abode. He's your dwelling place. He's your refuge. Folks, even as a saved individuals, you know, sometimes we try to find comfort out in this world. You can't find it. And that's just short and sweet to the point. You can't find it. You can make all the money you want. You can have the nicest things. Be the most popular guy on this earth. I don't care. None of that will satisfy you the way Jesus can. And you might think this morning, I'm not trying to tear anybody down. Please don't think that. But I tell you this morning, there in heaven, where all who have been saved by the grace of God will go, He is our refuge, our dwelling place, our comforter, the one that hears the raven's cry, even when we can't get our prayers above our head. He hears the raven's cry, and how much more precious is His children than the birds that's flying around. Folks, I tell you, the eternal God, don't try to dwell anywhere else. Don't try to be anywhere else, but yet try to continually dwell in the presence of God, because there is where you can find joy and satisfaction that'll last you. What are you seeking? Let me tell you. Psalms 116. Psalms 116, I believe it is verse 15 there. The writer was writing. He had said, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his sons. I tell you this morning, I've been trying to go back in our past Sunday school lessons and read. And I believe the last lesson that we had before this one, it was talking about redeeming the time. And I decided to go back in there and relook some things, see if I forgot anything, or see if I just didn't write, make any notes. And there was a man there, Jonathan Edwards. He had a sermon he was preaching, and it caught my attention. I had never thought about it, because lots of times, the Bible tells us, what is tomorrow? We don't know what tomorrow is. But you know what? Jonathan Edwards put it as this: we don't know if we're going to make it through the next 30 minutes. And if we make it through that next 30 minutes, he said, we don't know if we're going to make it through the next hour. We don't know if we're going to make it through the end of the day. And I begin to think about that, and I start thinking to myself, time is precious. It's precious, and it is a gift that has been given to us by God. Folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, use your time wisely and use it for the honor and glory of God. And if you are lost and separated from God this morning, you need to use your time wisely. And if God is knocking on your heart, seek after God. Death, precious in the eyes of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Death, say this, is a precious thing for one individual, but it's a dreadful thing for the other. We've been saved by the grace of God. Folks, I tell you this, be honest with you, I'm afraid of the sting of death. I don't know. I'd like to go away in my sleep, make it quick and easy. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, but I tell you this, death itself, I have no fear, because the one who died for me and saved my soul, Jesus Christ, he's conquered death. He's conquered that. And when this life is over, he said the last enemy will be destroyed, and the last enemy is death. Folks, let me tell you, I tell you this morning, it doesn't take a rocket scientist for us to know that death is coming on each and every one of us. And if it was to come in the next 30 minutes, are you ready for it? Are you ready? Those who have been saved, we get called home. And let me tell you this, it'll be home. But if you're lost, I don't know if I don't know if I could call hell home. In plain reality, place where the fire never quenches, worm dies not, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Not just that, Brother Greg, back in our revival in March, whenever he was trying to tell his testimony, he said something in there I had to give a loud amen to. And he said, it's not just hell that he had feared, but it was being separated from the love of God for eternity. Folks, it's real. You need to flee from it. Heaven is real. And not just that, but God is able and willing to save anybody who will come and diligently seek after him. So what is it that you're seeking for? You can find it all in the arms of God. I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of that. And I tell you this morning, if you're lost, I'm not trying to force anybody, but if God's knocking, he's knocking for a reason. He's telling you, come to me. So go to him. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Let us all stand and sing this morning.